Verses Joshua chapter 9. And it came to pass when all the kings who were on this side of the Jordan, in the hill country and in the lowland, and along the coast of the great sea as far as opposite to Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard of it, that they assembled together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, that they also acted with craft, and they went and prepared as on a journey, and took old sacks upon the donkeys and wine flasks, old and rent and tied up, and old and patched sandals upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said to the men of Israel, "From a far country are we come, and now make a covenant with us." And the men of Israel said to the Hivite, "Perhaps thou dwellest in the midst of us, and how should I make a covenant with thee?" And they said unto Joshua, "We are thy servants." And Joshua said to them, "Who are ye, and from whence come ye?" And they said to him, "From a very far country are thy servants come, because of the name of Jehovah thy God. For we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to the Sihon, and to King Heshbon, and to Og, and the king of Bashan, and who was at Ashtaroth. And our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, 'Take victuals in thy hand for the way, and go to meet them, and say to them, We are thy servants, and they'll make a covenant with us. This is our bread we took warm from our provisions out of the houses of our on the day that we came forth to go unto you, and now behold, it is dry and has become moldy. And these flasks of wine which are filled new, behold, they are rent, and these are our garments, and our sandals become very old by reason of a very long journey.' And the men took their victuals, and they did not inquire at the mouth of Jehovah. And Joshua made peace with them, and made a covenant with them, to let them live, and the princes of the assembly swore unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a covenant with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors, and that they dwelt in their midst. And the children of Israel journeyed and came to their cities on the third day, and their cities were Gibeon, and Chephirah, and Beeroth, and Kirjath-Jearim. And the children of Israel did not smite them, because the princes of the assembly had sworn unto them by Jehovah, the God of Israel. And all the assembly murmured against the princes, and all the princes said to all the assembly, "We have sworn unto by Jehovah, the God of Israel, and now we may not touch them. This will we do to them, and let them live, lest wrath comes upon us because of the oath which we swore unto them." And the princes said to them, "Let them live." And they were hewers of wood and drawers of water for all the assembly, as the princes said to them. And Joshua called for them, and he spoke to them, saying, "Why have ye deceived us, saying, 'We are from very far off,' whereas ye dwell in the midst? And now ye are cursed, and ye shall never cease to be bondmen, hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God." And they answered Joshua and said, "Behold, it was certainly told thy servants how that Jehovah thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants from the land before you. And we feared greatly for our lives because of you and did this thing. And now we are in thy hand, as it is good and right in thine eyes do to us." And he did so to them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, and they did not slay them. And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the assembly, for the altar before Jehovah, altar of Jehovah, to this day, in the place which he should choose. And then the second chapter I want to read is in Joshua chapter 2. And Joshua the son of Nun sent from Shittim 2 spies secretly, saying, "Go see the land, even Jericho." And they went, and they came into harlot's house named Rahab, and they lay down there. And there is told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come hither tonight from the children of Israel to search out the land." And the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that have come to thee, who have come into thy house, for they have come to search out all the land." And the woman had taken and concealed the two men, and she said, "Yes, the men did come unto me, but I knew not whence they were." And it came to pass, when the gate had closed at dark, the men went out. "I know not whither the men have gone. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them." But she had taken them up to the roof and secreted them under the stalks of flax which she had laid out on the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to the Jordan, to the fjords. And when they who had pursued after them had gone out, they closed the gate. And before they had lain down, she went up to them upon the roof and said to the men, I know that Jehovah has given you the land, and that the dread of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard that Jehovah dried up the waters of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and the Amorites, and what he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and to Og, whom he utterly destroyed. We heard of it, and our heart melted, and there remains no more spirit in any man because of you. For Jehovah your God, he is God in the heavens above and the earth beneath. And now, I pray, swear to me by Jehovah, since I have dealt kindly with you, that ye will deal also kindly with my father's house, and will give me a certain sign that ye will let my father live, and my mother, and my brethren, and my sister, and all that belong to them, and deliver our souls from death. And the men said to her, our lives shall pay for yours, if you do not make this our business known. And it shall be, when Jehovah shall give us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. And she let them down by cord through the window, for her house was upon the city wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said to them, go to the mountain, that the pursuers may not meet thee, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers have returned. And afterwards go on your way. And the men said to her, we will quit of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind in the window a line of scarlet thread, by which thou hast let us down, and thou shalt gather to thee in the house thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household. And it shall be that whoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we shall be innocent. But everyone who shall be with thee in the house of his, in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any hand be upon him. If thou make known this our business, we will quit of thine oath which thou hast made us swear. And she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went out and came to the mountain and remained there 3 days, and the pursuers had returned. And the pursuers sought them all the way, and found them not, and the two men returned and came down the mountain, and went over to came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and related to him everything that had happened to them. And they said to Joshua, of a surety Jehovah has given us the whole land into our hands, and even all in the heavens of the land faint because of us. These two chapters, there's a lot going on, but I hope to just focus in on one thing in particular, and it's the approach of Rahab, so faith of Rahab, I'll call it, and deception of the Gibeonites, and how these... We're both in the land, but how there's a stark difference in the way they approach Israel and God's people. From one side in Gibeon, you have this side of deceit and deception, whereas Rahab's, you have this this how God works repentance in their life. I just wanted to contrast them a bit with Gibeon when they approach Israel. It's with craftiness. They're seeking a plan wherewith they can basically trick Israel into not killing them in verse 3 of chapter 9. Whereas you have Rahab, who puts her life on line to protect God's people. In verse 6 of 9, you have the Gibeonites start their plea to Israel with a lie and demand that Joshua make a covenant with them right off the bat. And then later in the chapter, you have them speaking about the fame of God, the God of Israel. Whereas contrast that with Rahab, you have her saying, I know. The Gibeonites just saw that it was the God of Israel and nothing more. Whereas Rahab had come to an understanding personally of who this God was. And it had been made real in her heart, and she gives God his rightful place in verse 11, where she says, for Jehovah your God, he is God in the heavens above and in the earth below. And in 12 and 13, you see that she seeks forgiveness. Deal kindly with me. She's seeking that Israel would look kindly on her. In contrast, you have the Gibeonites make a covenant with us. There's, I think, a big difference in their approach to Israel. And in 11, the finally in verse 11 of chapter 9, the Gibeonites lied in claiming that they just really that they wanted to serve, but really they came to save their cities and their way of life. There doesn't seem to be a desire to truly change their lifestyle. They like what they have and didn't seem keen to lose it. You see how Israel, after this covenant, they pass by the city of Save. The way of the Gibeonites seems to stay in those cities unchanged. It might further down, I didn't dig into that, but just from these chapters, it seems that way. I just wanted to focus in on this kind of two different deception of the Gibeonites and faith of Rahab. Well, I guess it's both their kind of their attempts at repentance, but and when you compare them side by side, there's quite a difference. And in the New Testament, we hear of people who come in surreptitiously, getting in under false pretense. Jude speaks of those who crept in unawares. The Gibeonites seem to be persons who had not come under spiritual motives. They weren't coming from their hearts being affected. And how Satan loves to present Christianity as some certain advantage to gain by walking with God's people that is not of a spiritual character. There's something that you can get. Whatever it is, financially, prosperity gospel, financial gain by joining up this movement, you can really help yourself in your life. And their approach, they come in a guise of piety. It's all a facade to show that they've been seeking, they've been searching, they've been eating moldy bread just to find these people to serve them. But they're just neighbors, they're next door. It's all a guise to help deceive Israel into this making a covenant with them. They use the name of Jehovah. They know the stories. They know what happened to Israel. They speak of Jehovah, but they don't know God personally. They don't speak of Jehovah as I know. They just speak of how it's Israel's God. It doesn't seem to be conviction with the Gibeonites. And in contrast, we have Rahab. In Hebrews, it tells us that she was actually at peace. Hebrews 11:31 speaks of how she was at... let me just read it for the proper wording. Hebrews 11:31 says, by faith Rahab did not perish along with the unbelieving, having received the spies in peace. So we get this little insight into how her character was at that time, and how amazing it is that God can bring about such an attitude of peace amidst the judgment descending on the wicked city. The stories were known. They were coming, Israel coming, their city was going to be flattened. They didn't know how it was going to happen. They were going to put up a fight, but they were trembling. The people of the land were trembling. But she's at peace, and she can get the spies in. She saw the work at the Red Sea, the redemptive work. She understood how God had given them the power to overthrow the evil world. They saw that it was God that they were relying on. God had chosen them as people. And she had already disassociated herself with the world, with Jericho.
Amen. Amen.
So that when the spies came, she was able to welcome them right in. There was no second thought for her. She, right then and there, she has become a traitor to Jericho. She's not concerned with Jericho anymore. She knows that there is a true God, a living God who cares for his people. And she has already chosen to follow him before the spies have come in. And she's able to accept them in peace because she knows that this is the only way for life, is following the true God.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a picture of our lives. We are still in Jericho, but we should be completely disassociated from everything morally that is happening in the city. Mm-hmm. Our interests and hopes are all connected to what is outside the city. Have we reached the point as Rahab did in our lives? I was reminded of Lot, who's also in a city, who has faith in God, but he gets entangled with what's going on in the city. Mm-hmm. He gets tied down, and we see the effect it has on his life. He is pulled out by God's grace from the city, but his wife gets turned into a pillar of salt. His son-in-laws get part of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. So this another aspect of how we need to be. Yes, we're in Jericho, we're in the world, but how, as believers, we need to be not attached to the ways, the politics of this world, not attached to the whatever it is that could hold us down, like Lot was held down in Jericho. Rahab was already completely separated from Jericho. She could have been found out and could have been killed for being betraying Jericho, but she's already chosen her side, chosen her alliance she's made with God. And I think the door and the window we have in this picture, there's a lot to look into, but I think it's just suggestive of what was happening in her life spiritually. It is through the door that Rahab's faith ends up in blessing by accepting the spies in. It becomes salvation. That door becomes salvation for all the others who entered in.
Amen.
Through that door. Her window suggests her new outlook. She has accepted God. She has a new outlook on life. It is where she lets the spies out, and it's where her hope lies. Her hope is now coming from outside the city. Mm-hmm. Rahab isn't the least bit concerned with her life in Jericho, but rather with the people of God who are outside the city, like Daniel, who we were reading about last time, who had his window open, knowing that it was from God that his help would come. There's no deception here. The spies knew she was a harlot. They knew she lived in Jericho. They already knew everything about her. And then they see the testimony of her life. And in that sense, they are able to make a really good judgment and provide a way of salvation for her. You can see how God is providing salvation, but these spies, there's no deception yet. They see right through Rahab everything that's her past, her present, and see the changed life of Rahab. I think it makes it very easy for them to make this oath with Rahab. And so on this oath that Rahab's going to put her faith, on the words of these men, she trusts that this will be her salvation. And so too for us, do we put our faith in what Scripture says? This is what's going to, this is our only way of salvation. Can we put our trust in what Jesus says, that he is the Son of God? It's a step that you have to take as a believer, absolutely. And we see Rahab making that choice. She heard of their God and concluded he must be the true God and believed in him. It's marvelous to think how God's mercy reaches one of the most disreputable women in the enemy's strongest position, right in the wall, their fortification. How amazing it is that God can reach deep into the enemy's territory, deep into where Satan has his strongest hold, and pull out a believer, pull out ones for him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that gives us great hope for ones we might know who are trapped in a life of sin, who don't know God.
Amen.
God is able to work in situations we think irredeemable.
Amen.
And I love this little note that the spies are presented in two different ways. In Hebrews 11:31, it calls them spies. And in James 2:25, it calls them messengers. The two men, spies and messengers, called both. The Israelite men came as spies to Jericho, but as messengers to Rahab. How true that is, such a gospel message. How God's word is either the greatest news we have heard of our salvation coming. It's a great message. Or, if we do not accept what it says, it is the message of our destruction, our doom.
Mm-hmm.
It's this two sides that the spies represent. That is the gospel presented to men today. The Gibeonites, I think we see some characterized of unspiritual character, deceit, and personal gain. They weren't ready to lose their cities. They didn't want to, weren't ready to change their lives drastically. They wished to keep their cities and their way of life. They come demanding peace and do not know God personally. Rahab is characterized by repentance, personal understanding, faith, action, and a turning away from her old love and old life and a love of God's people. True Christian repentance involves a heartfelt conviction of sin, sorrow over the offense that it is to God, a turning away from our sinful life, and a turning towards God-honoring way of life. May we all seek to be more interested in what God is doing, what His plans are, because He is returning soon. I pray that this message might be of encouragement to all of us here, of the great work that Christ has done for us. In His precious name.
Amen. 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 Amen.